Almighty God, we just want to start out by praising you, not just for saving us as individuals, but saving us into a community here. That the relationship that you started with us through the blood of your Son has led to a relationship with each other. And so we ask that you would use your word and our time beneath it now to show us everything that means. What it means to be a people saved by Jesus into a community as we seek to honor him here. Amen. Well, as you've already heard multiple times in this service, today is a topical Bible talk on the vision statement of this church. And seeing as though it is, I wanted to start out by making it a little fun. I want all of you to imagine that this is the very first time you ever walked in to this church at TPC. Now, for some of you, you probably don't have to imagine this. You're thinking, you know, you're literally here for the first time and thinking, what on earth have I gotten myself into today? That's you. Welcome to TPC. A lot of us think the same thing when we keep walking in every week as well. But for others, pretending that you're here for the first time, it's going to need a good imagination because you've been coming here for years. Chances are long before I have as well. And the reason why I wanted to start out with this exercise is one of the things that we like to do with our newbies here is something we call our belong course. And so let's just pretend you've walked in first time, been greeted by our welcome team, found a seat, been convinced by one of our over-friendly member of our staff team to sit in on the belong course, and so here we are. And so tech desk, there we go, there's the front cover. And look at that, she looks excited to be here, amen? Who said Presbyterians can't raise their hands? All right, next page. And on page 2, you'll find my favorite verse in the whole Bible when it comes to what it means to be a church. Romans 12:5, which says, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And so if you want a Bible verse of why that speaks to why you belong here, it's hard to go past this one. All right, next page, and this brings us to our Belong Courses table of contents, and looky here. Look at the top of the list what we want you to know when you first walk in. After we welcome and encourage you for doing that, the next thing that we want you to know is our vision. And so Tech Desk, can we please turn the page again onto what our vision statement is, to the single sentence that best defines what we want to be as a community, and here it is. Our simple vision is to be a community living for Jesus, showing his love to all. And so if this church and its trajectory were a giant arrow, this is the bullseye or the target we're trying to hit. For a community living for Jesus, showing his love to all, is what we want to reach. And just before we get into unpacking this from Colossians, let me tell you a little story which illustrates why I think every church needs a vision, however simple. You see, part of my role involves having to attend a lot of meetings regionally, both within our denomination and outside of our denomination as well. This week, I sat through both. And I now confess my sin to my brothers and sisters, for sitting through some of those meetings can feel about as much fun as having a root canal without the anesthetic. Because there's a lot of churches out there in a state of decline where even though apparently they too have been saved by Jesus, no one's smiling or having fun. And I often find myself listening to other leaders complain about their people, the bad state of things, and when you sit there for long enough, it starts to sound very similar to a dentist revving his drill. Whenever I find myself in that chair listening to him rev that thing, what I've started to do is wait for a pause in the conversation to politely interrupt them and say, instead of talking about everything going wrong and complaining about your people, you know, church leader, let me just ask you for a minute, what is your church's vision? And here's what I've observed, that the leaders of any church that is either on fire or in a state of decline either has no vision, can't articulate it, or has lost sight of it, which is basically the same thing. And what observing this again and again over the years has done is it's helped me to see the need for a church to have a vision. And this should come as no surprise, for someone much wiser than me once said in Matthew 15, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. And this is the thing, you know, if church leaders have no vision, then how are they going to help lead their people in a direction that is helpful? How are they going to avoid falling into the, you know, the endless number of ministry pits? And this is why when a church doesn't have a vision, instead of holding hands or walking together in a direction that's helpful, they tend to just keep walking into each other all the time instead. And a church where everyone keeps bumping into one another, not only will keep getting on each other's nerves, but they will also have zero chance of saving anyone outside their four walls in their community. For not only does their line of sight become obscured by all their internal issues, but if the people who are already there find it difficult, then why on earth would anyone walk in, let alone stay there? And any church that's not saving people for our Lord Jesus has lost sight of why she even exists. And so my hope for our time together now is that God will use his word to get us excited about the vision of this church, excited for what TPC is on about as a community, so that rather than, you know, it become what feels like a weekly root canal, every one of us will walk out of here smiling like that poster model on the wall of your dentist in the foyer. You know the one where their smile is so big and bright, you need sunglasses just to look at them as you're sitting there sweating bullets. You might have a root canal on the way. And so welcome to TPC. This is where we see being joy-filled and smiling as biblical and therefore ideal. And now that we've established why every church needs a vision, let me help you see why ours of wanting to be a community who lives for Jesus is so much more than a nice idea. For let me give you four reasons from the Bible on why living for him is something that we are obligated to do, not just because of who he is, but what he did for our sin. And the first reason to live for him is very cool, because it is, he made you. And I get the fact that he made you from our Bible reading, which seems like an appropriate passage to have for a talk on our vision. But as you just saw, our vision statement is all about Jesus. And Colossians 1, it gives us one of the clearest visions of who Jesus is and what he did in all of Scripture. And verse 16 tells us that the first thing he did is he made you. Verse 16, for in him all things were created. And just in case anyone is wondering if Paul really means all things, when he says it, he reassures us it's what he means by adding the lists. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created not just through him and for him. So church, let me say it like this. If it weren't for Jesus, neither you nor I would even exist. For according to verse 16, all things were created through him, and because our lives were created through him, the verse rightly concludes, our lives are therefore to be lived for him. And this also helps us understand why there's so many people in this world that are miserable. But when you try and live for a reason that is different to why you exist, that's when life gets really tough. For I remember once seeing a guy, get this, use a meat cleaver of all things to do the edges of his front lawn. True story. A job that would have taken 2 minutes with a whippersnapper literally took this guy all day as he's out there crudely hacking away at the edges of his front lawn under the hot sun. And the result was a handful of blisters, a sore lower back and knees, and to top it off, his lawn ended up looking like a war zone. Imagine asking him for a haircut. It's like, thank you, Dad. I think I'll lose a few bucks at the barber, because when I say a short back and sides, I'm hoping the ears will still be left on. And now, church, serious question. Were meat cleavers made to do the edges of a lawn? Absolutely not. And, you know, this is why his experience and the result of his lawn was so miserable, for he tried to use something for a purpose different to why it was made and meant for. And what is true of meat cleavers is also true of human beings. For sure, you can try and live for something other than Jesus. Just like a meat cleaver can try and be used for the edges on a front lawn. You can absolutely try and live for things like your weekend, your sport or your hobby, your appearance, the popularity among your peers, following on social media, a romantic interest, having kids or their performance at school. But just don't be surprised when you end up having a miserable experience. Because according to verse 16, that is not the purpose you were made for. It's not that those things are unimportant, they are. You were just never meant to live for those things, period. And so this is the first reason why we want to live for Jesus, because we were made through him and for him. And the second is because he didn't just make you, he sustains you. And I get this from the next verse, verse 17, where we read, "He is before all things, and in him, here it comes, all things hold together." So what Jesus does for you is so much more than make you. He sustains you, or to use the language there of that verse, along with everything else, you are held together by him. Which means when he made you, he didn't just make you like one of those toys that has a crank in the back, wind you up at the start, and then say, you know, off you go, little buddy, good luck. No, he keeps holding you together. And so the reason you and I don't instantly collapse into a puddle on the floor isn't just because of how God engineered our cells down to the molecular level. It's because his son holds everything together, which is why there are many things we are unable to explain in fields like biochemistry. For instance, before ministry, I started out working in the field of genetics, and I can tell you firsthand that there are basic elemental parts of our cells that logically should repel, should head in the opposite direction. And while opposites attract, or may be true or not true of relationships, it is certainly true of polarity. And the Sparkies and the electrical engineers here will affirm this. Yet there are basic parts of our cells which have the same polarity, and therefore everything cell says that they should repel each other, and yet for some reason, they don't. And so we remain incapable of explaining so many things, how they're held together, and this gives you some insight into how verse 17 played a role in my conversion in becoming Christian. For long before I started studying theology, I was starting to see the case for Christ under an electron microscope. For I was starting to behold the glory of God right down there to the finest level. And so every cell, every breath, every bodily system, all the things that you and I take for granted just sitting here in its complexity is thanks to Jesus. In him, all of it is held together. Which means, you know, not living for him would be the equivalent of being a patient who's critical, unplugging our life support and then just trying to walk off. Now, you don't need to be a doctor or a prophet to predict that that's probably not going to end well. Amen? And this is why the fact that he sustains or holds us together is the second reason that you and I must live for him. Here comes a third. That he is the head of this church, TPC. verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so if you were to see TPC's org chart, the person at the top, it is not Isaac, it ain't Jack, it ain't our elders, and it sure ain't me. Jesus is the only one right at the top. That's why he gets a parking spot right out front and an ensuite joined to his office, because he alone is the head of this church. Which is why whenever someone new walks in and asks if I'm the boss here, so to speak, I say, no, I'm merely middle management at best, somewhere between that and janitor, really probably much closer to janitor. For the big boss here is Jesus, maybe the complaints department. That might be a little closer to the mark. And to use the imagery of verse 18, because he is the head of our body here, it's another reason we must live for him. For again, I'm no doctor, but I imagine it's pretty hard to live well without a head. And it just so happens we've got a doctor on our tech desk here, so can I ask for your opinion, your professional opinion, so they don't just take my word for it. Can you live well without a head? Not that he's noticed. There you go. So don't just take it from me. And this is the third reason why we should live for Jesus as a community, because we are the body and he is our head. All right, let me just give you one more beautiful reason why we want to live for him from Colossians 1, and that is because he died for us. That's how he saved us. And I get this from our next two verses, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And how did he reconcile all things to himself? Here it comes. By making peace through Jesus' blood shed on a cross, or the cross. And so get this, out of everyone that you and I could have picked to start a war with, you and I chose to pick one or start one with God, which we did the moment that we chose to sin. And when God's a guy who's on the other side of the battlefield, clearly we started a war that we are unable to win, let alone fix. And just as God pulls the trigger because of our sin, his son willingly walks right in the middle and allows himself to be nailed up high enough on a cross so that he is the one that takes the hit. So that the hellfire that was deservedly coming our way, it completely rains down on him. And he did that so that both sides could now be reconciled, so that despite our sin, we could have peace with God and church. If Jesus doing this doesn't compel you or I to live for him, then what will? Because he didn't just make us, sustain us, head up this church. He also saves us, which he did, dying for our sins, so that in response, we would all live for him. Not just as individuals, but as a community here at TPC. And so there is just four biblical reasons that drive the first part of our vision, four reasons why we are serious when it comes to living for Jesus, that it is more than just a nice idea. And if you want to know how to do this, how to live for him, then let me refer you to the next page of our Belong course. Thank you, tech team. As we turn on to our mission statement, which spells out how we intend to achieve our vision. Where our mission statement says there, right in the middle, the way we live for Jesus is through serving each other, our city, and beyond. In other words, get involved. Not only is serving part of what it means to live for Jesus, the one who served us all by going to a cross, but it also plays a major role in fulfilling the second half of our mission statement, vision statement, which is to show his love to all. And so what I wanted to do now in the limited time that remains is just quickly run through some of the ways that you can get involved here at TPC. So consider each of these ministries as Jesus' love-showing opportunities, for we want you to all use the gifts that God has given you to participate, not spectate. For using our gifts God has given us to serve one another, our city and beyond, is, again, how we show his love to all. And so here comes just some of the ways that you can do that here. And number one, we heard this from Graham in our announcements, and that is to join a growth group. For if we are a body with many parts that all have different functions, and therefore we quite literally need one another, like when Paul uses this imagery in 1 Corinthians 12 to say that, like a body, we all need one another because, you know, someone's the foot, while someone else is the hand, someone else is the ear, the eye, the head. You know, so seriously, just imagine this. What if you are the brain who should be helping an armpit like me? Serious question. Or you're the shoulder someone else really needs here to lean upon, but they can't because midweek you're not involved. For attending one of the many Bible studies here during the week is not just one of the ways that we can all help build each other up, but as it's said in Colossians 1 verse 10, it's one of the best ways that we grow in the knowledge of God, but it's also one of the most effective ways that we show love. Because there's not just learning from God's word, there's learning from one another, there is connecting as part of that fellowship, there is the ministry of presence or just the blessing of each other being there for one another and showing love through things like empathy. You know, because nothing better than being shoulder to shoulder physically helps us to live out the command to walk alongside each other or to come along one another in our troubles. You know, I cannot tell you with a clear conscience before God how much I love all the blokes in my growth group and how much they love me. Because, you know, sometimes it feels as though I have to keep flicking the lights on and off just for some of them to leave at the end of the study. Welcome to TPC. And this is family, right? We love one another. And even though we have growth groups that meet, you know, pretty much most days throughout the week, some of them are so big that we're about to launch two new groups here, both being mixed. And so if you want to be part of the launch or plant of a mixed group for men and women that meets during the day or one that works in the evening, please come and see me. And I can tell you that both of these groups are going to be led by men and women who have far more ministry experience than I do. All right, next way you can serve is youth group. Because what's true of some of our growth groups is also true of youth group, where we can have so many new kids coming in that some weeks our leaders can find it hard to keep up with. And so in order to meet this growth and future growth, we could do with some more youth leaders, particularly women who have a mature faith and are working with vulnerable people card, are young at heart and therefore have the spiritual gift of fun. For I can't think of a better way to show love to the youth of this city than investing time on a Friday night to help their faith grow in what for so many is a watershed moment in their lives, a watershed or crossroads moment where they make the choice in their teens, typically between walking the narrow road that leads to life or walking the broad one that leads to destruction. Imagine playing a role in helping them make the right choice. And so if you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, please see one of our youth leaders for more information. And this leads me to another way you can get involved here is through something I mentioned ever so briefly before called Newish. And I haven't had time to run this one by all of our leaders, so hopefully I will still have a job tomorrow. Even if I don't, that's okay. Remember, Jesus is the CEO. Amen? And we want to launch Newish because we used to have a hospitality ministry here where someone would be rostered on to invite all the newbies to their home straight after church each week. But I can tell you, even as a guy that's been in ministry, when I visit a church, that can be pretty scary when that happens, when you're the new person, especially when it's the first time that you've walked in and chances are you've got plans straight after the service. So rather than do it every week and risk scaring people like me, the plan is to hold a barbecue at someone's house once a month. So that way, people who are new-ish here have more notice and time to decide whether or not they'll keep coming along. And so if you'd be willing for your home to be one of them who will host Newish throughout the year and show love by helping those who are new connect in, please see me or one of our leaders, providing they approve it. All right, and this brings me to the next way you can show love, Jesus' love to all. And this is through something called our prayer walk, which, as the name suggests, should be fairly obvious. But, you know, one of the most effective ways that you and I can show love to our city and our world is to pray for both. And this is why we want to launch a prayer walk that meets here before the morning service, where we grab a coffee and just go for a walk as we talk to God, bringing before him the needs of this city and our world in general, and to also pray for our street evangelism team before they head out and have conversations with people about our Lord. And this is another great ministry that you can be part of. Let me just give you two more to finish, and the next one is Global Mission, or more specifically, where you could become our Global Mission Advocate. And for this church supports a bunch of missios who serve all over the world, and yet it is so rare that you or I hear about their work. So what we would love is for someone to be not just their contact point, but also their voice, so that we can have regular mission updates here from the front every month. And so if you are passionate about global mission and the plight of the persecuted church, please come see me at some point. I would love to speak with you about this ministry. And this next one might sound a little boring, but it's super helpful, setting up this hall. But believe it or not, the chairs that you are sitting on right now and the sound system that you are hearing this through, it doesn't, or they don't, set themselves up each week. Believe me, I have prayed many times that they would. The book of James says that the prayer of a righteous man is effective, so it seems I've still got some begotten sins to deal with. But until then, TPC, if this church is a body and you feel a little bit like you could be the muscle, it'd really bless not just the staff team, leaders, but the whole congregation if you would be part of the crew that comes in early to help set things up. And there's a bunch of other ways that you can get involved here at this church. And so what we're going to do at the end of this service, we're going to have a ministry list up on the screen with a QR code where you can scan that and register your interest for any that you would like more information of to prayerfully consider whether you will serve in those ways. And so I just want to take 1 minute now to land this plane by briefly speaking about our new approach to all of the ministries here through something we call teams. You see, at the moment, the way we serve here, it tends to be governed by a sovereign roster, which is very Presbyterian. And while rosters are often helpful and therefore not necessarily of the devil, the problem is they tend to create a culture where people will just show up, serve, and go. I did my date, that's it, I'm done. Hence, there's very little terms of support, discipling, encouragement, and equipping to help affirm and develop gifts for people in each of these ministries. And so in order to address this, we are in the process of moving each of our ministries here over from rosters to teams, where rather than each ministry merely be governed by an impersonal, set-and-forget roster, each ministry will have its own team leader, male or female, to lead their team as they all share ideas, bond together over their common gifting and ministry, pray and read scripture together, and therefore become like a little pastoral community in the bigger pastoral community of TPC. For not only does teams ministry have more potential to show love than rosters, it's also, I think, much closer to what we see happening in Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. So let me finish by reading this. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. There it is again, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so that is teams. I read teams there, TPC, not rosters. There's our vision to live for Jesus and show his love to all. And so let me finish by asking you a serious question. Are you in? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the clear reminder from your word of why we are to live for you. We want to thank you for all that our Lord Jesus has done for us, which is so much more than save us from our sin. May all glory, honor, and praise go to him, and we pray that you will continue to guide us by your word, your spirit, and your presence to be a community that would do just that, live for him, be a community, and show his love to all. Amen.